Turn with me to Luke 11th chapter, verse 2. And also I'm going to be speaking from Deuteronomy 8 and 18. And then when we're done with that, I want you to turn with me to Mark the 5th chapter, starting with first verse. I'm going to preach from there. When you found Luke 11 and 2, say amen. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And my title of my message today is Cost of the Kingdom. The cost of the kingdom. Deuteronomy 8 and 18, and you shall remember the Lord. Everybody say, remember the Lord. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth. So everything you got is because of God. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Now turn to Mark the 5th chapter and hold it there. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your touch here today. I pray, God, for you to move and touch us. In the name of Jesus, minister today, God. Minister in a mighty way, Lord. Touch us, God, as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor, we're in the kingdom. The National Bible Association has been around for a long time. And just this year, the new president of it is a former general overseer of the Church of God, Dr. Lamar Vest. He's the first Pentecostal to ever serve on that position. Can you say amen? They spread the Bible throughout the world. They make sure that the Bible is written in different languages to get it throughout the world. And it has come to them that there are some people that can't read. There are some tribes and some people groups that can't read. So they tried to figure out a way, and they came up with an instrument they call the proclaimer. The proclaimer is a recording box, and it's run by solar batteries, so you don't need electricity, so you can take it anywhere. And on it, they have sent out missionaries to these tribes, learned their language, came back and put the New Testament on a recording and put it on the recorder and sent this proclaimer back to these tribes. And there is one tribe that it is called the Kinkamba tribe in Africa. The Kinkambada tribe is different nationalities. There's a lot of Islamics there. And then there's a small group that we've reached for Jesus Christ. And what they've done is they brought this proclaimer there, and every night they will gather around and listen to Bible stories. And it's come to the place now that they have built a church. There's no windows in it. There's no doors. It seats about 150. On the inside, and there's another 150 that stands out the outside. They stand in the windows, and now they're realizing that most of those on the outside are Islamic, but they love to hear the stories in the New Testament. One day, a missionary was there, and he was watching what was going on, and the proclaimer was telling the story of the Gadarene. The demon-possessed man that Jesus had spoke of. Now, you got to understand, in this tribe, they didn't say amen or praise the Lord. The way they agreed with you is they went, huh. Everybody do that with me. Huh. And so when they heard something good, they would all go, huh. So they were listening to the story of the Gadarene. They listened how that Jesus came to the shore. And when he got off, they heard about a man who many times they tried to bind him with ropes and chains, but he would break the ropes and chains, and he would run around naked and take rocks and cut himself and cry, and they couldn't handle him, and they realized this was a crazy man, and he lived in the tombs. And now Jesus got out of the boat, and when he got out of the boat, the man ran to him, fell down, and began to worship him. And how that the demons inside of him, and Jesus said, "How many are you?" And he said, "Legions." Somewhere around 6,000. Man, you're in bad shape. And how that the demons said to him, "If you cast us out, cast us into the swine." An estimated of about 2,000 pigs. And Jesus said, "Go." And they went into pigs, and the pigs ran into the water. And they were amazed that Jesus came to this man when there was a whole community. And how that the people that were keeping the pigs ran and told the people in the community. And they came out, and when they got there, they found the man in his right mind, fully dressed at the feet of Jesus. And how that they feared and they told Jesus to get out of here. And Jesus left. And when the story was over, they all went, "Huh." And then they would open it up, and there were some elders on the pulpit up front. And you got to understand, it was one light, and you could only see about 12 rows back, so most of the people were in the dark. And one person said, "I have a question. Did Jesus know before he got there that he was going to cast the demons into the pigs and they would run in the water?" And the elders got together and talked, and they came back and said, "We believe Jesus knew because he's God. He knows everything." Another person raised his hand and says, "Well, I got a question. Was it one man's pigs or the whole community's pigs?" And they got together and spoke again, and they came back, and "We are of the opinion that it was the whole community's pigs." Now, you got to understand, in this tribe, your wealth was by how much livestock you have. They didn't have money. Livestock showed your wealth. Then the wealthiest man, who the one who had the most pigs in the tribe, stands up and says, "I have a question. Did Jesus replace the pigs?" And a hush grew over the crowd. And they said, "We don't know if he replaced them or not." And then the wealthy man stood up again, and he said, "Well, why did Jesus, if he knew the pigs would run into water, and he knew that it was the wealth of the city, why would he allow this to happen?" And the elders got together, and they began to speak, and then one elder stood up, and he said, "I think I know the answer. Do you guys know the man in our tribe that's crazy?" And they all went, "Huh." He said, "Let me ask you this. Is he worth a pig?" And they got quiet. And he said, "I believe Jesus was telling us that one man was worth the wealth of the whole community." Oh, did anybody hear me what I said? He said, "I believe Jesus was telling us one man is worth the wealth of the whole community." Now I'm done with my introduction. Now I'm going to preach. What is the cost or the price of our spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? What a great service we had Wednesday night. For those of you that were here, do you realize we had 39 kids upstairs? We don't have any more room. What do we tell the next kid that comes? "Sorry, we don't have any more room." What is the price? What is the price for a soul? What is the price? Let me ask you something. Is one person worth a pig? Can I step out for a moment and tell you that I know that animal activists make statements like, "What's the difference between a human baby and a rat?" Nothing. One was asked, "If a rat and a baby was drowning, which one would you save?" He said, "Does it matter? They're the same thing." I beg to differ with you. Human beings were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Can you say amen? I don't agree with torture of animals. I don't agree with that, and I don't believe in that. But I'm here to tell you that one soul is precious in the eyes of God, and we were created in the image of God, and we need to understand. Listen to me. Today, there's going to be countless of hundreds of thousands of people that will step out of this life into eternity. Do they know Jesus Christ? How much is one soul? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said, I give you power to get wealth. Understand, everything you have, everything you are, has nothing to do with you. It is by the grace of God. Oh, I didn't get enough amens there. It is by the grace of God that you have what you have. Amen. It is by the grace of God that His blessings is upon you. It is by the grace of God you have the job that you have. It is by the grace of God that you are with you. Let me ask you something. How many here today have an income and are employed? How about retirements? You can put up your hand for retirements. Let me tell you something. In this economy, you're blessed. I don't think you hear me what I'm saying. In this economy, you're blessed. Amen. I had someone ask me, said, is the economy hurting your church? I said, not really. You know why? Because God is watching over us. We are His children. He will bless us. Can you say amen? I said, He will bless us. We can walk in the blessings of God, but I'm here to tell you, God isn't giving you wealth so that you can go out and buy more cars and store up more homes. God is giving it that we might spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and touch more people's lives. Oh, I feel like preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. How much is a soul worth? How much is a soul worth? We need to remember that God gave it to us that He might establish His covenant. Listen, what is the will of God? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count it, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. God's will is for everyone to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is God's will for people to be saved. What do we do, church, when we come to a place where we don't have enough room for another child to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you realize every 80% of the preachers in the church of God came out of classrooms in Sunday school and in children's church where God touched their lives? Oh, I feel like preaching. Why do we give? Oh, man, I'm glad you asked. Someone asked me one time, says, Pastor, I want to know where my money goes in the offering plate. Gonna tell you this morning. First of all, we remember what God did to spread the kingdom of God. Amen. To reach more people for Jesus Christ. How many's glad somebody gave? Amen. And the lights were on in the church. When you come to know Jesus Christ, I am so glad that someone gave to a little Baptist church on the south end of Toledo, Ohio, where my alcoholic father found Jesus Christ and turned our lives around and turned our family around. I'm glad somebody gave to reach souls. I read a story about a little girl in the Philadelphia area. One morning she went to Sunday school, she went to church. When she got to church, she walked in and walked from the back to the front. She was about 10, 11 years old and could not find a seat. She left and went out and sat on the front porch and began to cry. After service, the pastor came by and said, Honey, what's wrong? She said, I came to church and there was nowhere to sit. And she made a statement, there ought to be room for a little girl that wants to go to church. The pastor began to cry. And he said, Honey, we've got to raise money. We've got to build a new building. There's got to be room for little girls to go to church. The little girl went home and got her little purse, broke open her piggy bank, and put about 75 cents in that little purse. The next Sunday morning, she walked up to the pastor and said, Here, This is building a new church so that little girls can have a place in church. The pastor took it. He was crying. I mean, tears. The writer said he tears was running down his face. He went into the church, and when it got time for him to get up and speak, he couldn't speak, and he held up that little purse, and he told the story. And that morning, thousands of dollars rolled into the building. They went into a massive building fund. The writer said that, the name of that place now is, Temple University. And that little purse hangs on the wall to say it all started because one little girl couldn't find a place to sit in church. I asked you, church, how much is a soul worth? How much is a soul worth to touch someone for Jesus Christ, to touch someone's life, to make a difference in a little child's life? God help us when we come to a place where there's no room. Someone comes into church and we don't have any more seats left. They need Jesus Christ. We need to understand we've got to do more for God. Where does your offering go? Where does your income go? You have no idea. The lives you touch, not just when you give of finances, but you give of yourself. Today, I'm reminded of a Sunday school teacher. We called her Sister Petrie. You never went into Sunday school, she didn't hug you, make you feel welcome. Me and my wife both sat in her class. Loved us. She made it such an impression in my life. And she made an impression on my life on making people feel welcome and showing love to them. I'll never forget when I preached my first message and Sister Petrie came and sat and cried. Told me it was worth it all to know that I touched your life. Sister Petrie is going to be in glory. But every person I touch for Jesus Christ, she's a part of it. Because she invested in my life. I'm not just talking about finances today, church. The harvest is ripe. Invest, and God's going to bless you. You cannot outgive God. My wife and I have decided to give up a day of fast food restaurant or eating out or anything. And that money we would have spent on that, we're putting in our envelope and we're writing in the bottom, mortgage payment. Because there's got to be room for that little girl. Because who knows that the next T.D. Jakes don't walk through those doors? Who knows that the next Joyce Myers don't walk through those doors? Because you see, the Bible in Mark, the 5th chapter, says they told Jesus to leave, get out. But then he comes back another time and the whole city comes out to greet him and to worship him. What happened? Because you see, the demon-possessed man asked, could he go with Jesus? And Jesus said, no, go back to your community. He went back and touched their lives. I believe that what it costs for one man to get saved, God blessed the community abundantly, because you cannot outgive God. He said, if you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I see that as this. I got a cup this big. I give, it fills up, it overflows. I got to get a bigger cup. Then I get out of that. And then it fills up, overflows, and then I got to get a big... Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you can't outgive God. But the very fact that we can touch somebody's life, somebody that the community thought was not worth it, Jesus thought was worth the wealth of the whole community, which changed the whole community. There's people in Lindenhurst, in Babylon, in Copeg, in Amityville that need Jesus Christ. We've got to reach the kids before they become drug addicts, before this world grabs a hold of them. We've got to reach them. We've got to reach families before there's destruction in them. We've got to reach them. I believe that God has given us a message this morning of how much is the soul worth? How much would you pay for your loved one to be saved? Are we paying? No. We give of our time and our finances, as was in the video, that we might be able to do more for Jesus Christ and to reach more lives. I read about a community on the California coast. There, the water was very rough. There were rocks out there. And I know I'm not giving a shouting, but I believe I'm doing what God wants me to do this morning. And it's so dangerous there because of the waves and the rocks that they have a no swimming. Do not swim. Do not come close to the water. And then the siren went off and people began to gather because a young boy had fallen in the water. The little boy's out treading the water, trying to stay afloat as the water's knocking him up against the rocks. And they all came out and a fireman tied himself to a rope and jumped into the water, swam out and grabbed the little boy in his hands. The whole community clapped and applauded, but nobody had a hold of the other side of the rope. And the fireman and the little boy drowned. Listen, you might not be able to teach, but would you grab the rope? Nursery might not be your ministry, but would you grab the rope? Because that person that is out there doing it and the person they're touching are worth us as a community, as a church, reaching as many people for Jesus Christ as we can. The cost of the kingdom, the cost of touching people's lives. If you leave here and say, I'm not coming back to this church anymore because he preached on money, see you later. I have such a burden to see people saved, to see little children and youth touched. Do you realize on Wednesday night our teenagers go to a basement in an apartment complex because we don't have room for them? And if we didn't have that, we would have to tell our teenagers, can't come tonight. We don't have any room. 37 little kids, 39 upstairs. Yesterday, I was talking to a mother whose husband is in Kuwait, been deployed, and our operation uniform is already sending care packages to him. Her children come on Wednesday night. She told me, Pastor, at 3:00, they're getting ready to come. She said, Wednesday, you might find them on the steps at 3:00 waiting for the church doors open. Pastor, didn't that make you happy? It made me cry. Because what do we tell the next kids? Sorry. We don't have any room. Church, I want you to do this with me. First of all, there is power in prayer. I want you to pray with me. God, you open the doors. See, God is able to give us a building. God is able to touch one person's life and they financially support the whole thing. Are you kidding, Pastor? Absolutely. But God might choose to bless you. Secondly, I want you to pray, God, help me with business or whatever to get more wealth, that I might give more and make a difference in somebody's life. Would you tell somebody about Jesus? Last week I went to our bank, talked to the young lady there, talked to her about our church, all that's going on, and she said, well, how old is it for Vacation Bible School? And I told her, and she said, my son is 13. And I told her about Friday nights, and she said, I want to bring him to church on Friday nights for the youth. There are people that need Jesus.